I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast. I jumped the gun by one last week. I said it was 98. That was 97. This is episode 98, and the Atlantic 10 schedule is here. Hobart in North Carolina to play High Point Saturday, 12 noon, 89.5 WEOS. We're with the coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
So before we talk about the St. John's game, let's talk about the place, Ridgefield High School. They got raves, I think, from everybody for their preparation and their hosting the game. And I think that's a place everybody agrees we'd be happy to go back to someday.
Yeah, great venue. Really unique too. Kind of, tucked back into the whatever the hill that Ridgefield's on, that Ridgefield's on. Everything was great. We were slightly concerned about, the clock management. We didn't have some replay, which I think would have helped us a little bit at the end there. So a couple things from a Division I landscape that we can work on for next time. But from a neutral site, it was, essentially perfect. And we got a great turnout. We had an alumni bus that showed up from New York City. It was great to see all those guys and a reminder of, what's really important in this thing and just an all-around professionalism. So great job. Kudos to the St. John's staff too for being the home team and basically coordinating a bunch of that stuff and making sure we're good to go. And again, a shout out to Jay Penn, father of the two Hobart Statesmen, Brandon and Dylan Penn. He kind of facilitated that connection and got that whole thing going. So, a success from a venue, no doubt.
13-11 was the final. You won the last 57 minutes of the game, but not 60.
Nah, we turned the ball over way too much in the first half, Ted, and gave our opponent a lot of false hope in terms of how the flow of that game was going and what they were capable of. I thought we started that game with a great energy and a great excitement. There was everything leading up to that contest was smooth, dialed in. A couple guys that fought through a hard week with, some sickness and some this and that we could kind of see in their product on Saturday. But, for the most part, the game is in our favor, but we turned the ball over 12 times in the first half, Ted, and gave them repeated opportunities or repeated possessions in scenarios that landed our defense a little bit tired, made a few more mistakes, and again, gave them too many goals or too many opportunities early, and we couldn't seem to find the back of the net late. So that's the story of the game. Turnovers and also those seven penalties, we can complain and whine about the refs all we want. I thought that they were very average and a little bit overwhelmed. But I think you take those seven opportunities away that they had and the three goals they got man up, specifically late, it's a completely different game. But we gotta find a way to – I mean, we turned the ball over two times in the second half and 12 in the first. We clearly have the ability – to make right decisions with the ball. And we've been focused on that a ton just in terms of how to pace our play and how to put our guys in better positions throughout this whole week. So we are very focused and motivated on this new start here. Or sorry, not a new start. We need to handle all that we've dealt with, but on the fact that we're 0-0 going into the conference.
You told us last week that some guys would see expanded roles, and we saw that. Di Tommaso a little more on attack. We saw Hallam. We saw Johnny Harding in the midfield. Accordingly, on the man up, was there anybody in that group that earned more playing time for the future?
Yeah, I think so. And we're just going to need to continue to challenge our depth and hold guys to a higher standard of play. I still think there's a couple guys that have worked their way in and out of the lineup here through good play or poor play that will still provide some changes on the field. We've had a lot of good meetings this week and talked to a lot of guys about what we'll need in this conference in order to be successful and who will need to play more or potentially less. We need guys to service roles a little bit better. And a lot of those guys that you did see did a great job. Chase Talem is, our coaching staff calls him Steady Eddie. He's he's a very steady presence in terms of doing the right thing, you know, and whether it's this year or years to come, I mean, his future is very bright. He's a very good lacrosse player and a very smart lacrosse player. You know, Harding's shown his athleticism. You know, you get Bryce Johnson on the field a little bit, big, strong lefty. So we had to take some chances in that game in order to solidify a little bit more depth going into the A-10. And some of it worked, some of it didn't. And, you know, again, all on the coaching staff in terms of what does and what doesn't. But we feel pretty good about a couple other guys stepping in here and playing some good roles.
I'm not going to name names here, but a couple of your guys that were really struggling to shoot were coming out of it a little bit, at least getting more shots on net, if not necessarily in the goal.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think the helpless part of this thing, Ted, is you can't shoot the ball for him. You can't throw the ball for him, and you can't make decisions for him. You know, I think the whole process of what we talk from a system standpoint is a big part of it is the freedom in that decision making. You know, and we've gotten to a point where we need to influence that a little bit more and make sure that goalie scouts are more on point, and then they can also change throughout the course of a game. You know, I think in that particular element, it seemed as though that person in the goal was very ready for us to shoot the ball high and did a good job. He had shown in the past that that's where he was a little bit susceptible. And like all good coaching staffs, which St. John's has and everybody we play has, they've made adjustments, worked on their personnel, and gotten better at some weaknesses. And I felt like we got him going a little bit early. And he had a good game, Ted. Not a great game, but he had a good game. And, you know, I think where we had to adjust from our release points and getting the goalie guessing a bit, I don't think we did good late. And I thought that they did, you know. So you look at the battle of the goalies, you got 16 saves on both ends. So we felt like Jack played pretty well. We felt like their goalie played pretty well. It seemed as though he looked more on point for our shooting in the fourth quarter. And I think that might have been a little bit of a difference. You know, a couple man up opportunities with our hands free that we didn't capitalize on. And you know, just some, you know, some chances that I know a lot of our guys want back.
Mike Vollant won 17 out of 19 at the Faceoff X, and you did something I don't remember you doing before, which is putting a second faceoff guy out there on a wing, and we saw that work on a couple of ground balls. Explain that move.
You know, first to balance the field defensively, you know, we've been doing a lot of two pole stuff up there on the wings, and we'll continue with that. You know, what we've noticed is our faceoff guys have a better nose for the ball than the majority, if not all, of our wings. So we need to keep giving them opportunities to pick the ball up. They've shown that they can do that, and you know, Seamus is a guy that has very dynamic versatility. I think that he can do more things. And as we look, you know, through our roster and go, all right, if we keep doing the same things over and over again and keep playing the same people over and over again, we're going to get a pretty similar result. So we kind of in that particular game, Ted, said, who else can go out here in different roles and impact the game successfully? And you know, Seamus was one of those. And we're going to use Ty Steinhaus on the wings a little bit. He's great on the ground, and see if he can help us there. And so you know, Moose is that he got the player of the game for us just because, you know, he picked up five ground balls in a position that he's never been in a Division I lacrosse game, and he didn't bat an eye at it and went out and attacked it. So we're very happy with him and anxious for more guys to step into a new or fresher role and impact the game the way that Seamus did.
Jack Faiola say 55 or 56%, which may be his game high. That's a percentage that can win you games if you can limit the shots a little bit more. I mean, you get that kind of a save percentage, you'd like to hold them to 8 or 9 instead of 13. So how can you knock the opponent down 4 or 5 shots on goal per game?
We got to be a little bit more focused on who's got the ball and basically where they're strong, you know. So I don't think we did a great job against St. John's at preventing the ball carrier from getting to advantageous spots for him, you know. So, and I thought defensively, Ted, there was a lot that we did very well, more so than in games in the past. You know, I'm not sure, you know, St. John's, although they are a pretty good team, I'm not sure they're at the same caliber of, you know, a Dartmouth in particular, where, you know, you're constantly on your heels in terms of what's coming at you and what they're capable of and all that stuff. But in the same breath, we felt like we did better things defensively in parts and put some different faces out there as well. You saw Weimer on the defensive end a little bit more in that game, and again, Sheamus and Ty and these guys that can spell our short stick D horse unit a bit and keep them a little bit fresher. But we've got to do a better job knowing who's got the ball and knowing what they're capable of. If our defense is going to impact an offense, we have to create better defensive opportunities. Like we talk about on the offensive end, how do we create great opportunity and play high pressure, high paced offense in a smart way? We got to do the same thing on the defensive end, and we can't be as reactive. We can't be as tentative in terms of how we need to play a specific ball carrier and also how we need to support specific men on our team. You know, there are certain guys that do a lot of things well, and one of them isn't always covering the ball, meaning if so and so's behind the goal on a specific person, we need to make sure we are aware of that defensively and prepared to double that ball. I think what we have on the D end in some ways is a great preparation and a very preventative attitude. And we need to promote the ability to create, again, good defensive opportunities. And that starts with who's got the ball, where are they least likely to impact the game, and let's force them that way. And so we've been doing a pretty poor job of that, and we need to get back on track with the details that drive the discipline of the defense, which is how are you approaching the ball, who's got the ball in their stick, and can we make sure his job's tough first, and then support him, support the support, basically the pillars of our defense, Ted, how we play the ball, how we support the ball, how we support the support. And you know, we're again, been very diligent all week on the individual parts to the whole that make this system drive.
And over the last few weeks, I mean, it hasn't been surprise guys. We're not seeing midfielders scoring their third goal of the year. We're seeing the guy who comes in with 20 scoring five.
Right. That's the biggest issue, is we're system driven to the point where if we do, you know, this, that, and this, we should be okay, instead of, you know, the Bill Belichick. If you're going to win a good defensive game, you got to take their best player out of it. And, you know, number 30 scores the first two goals of the game right-handed. And their dodging attackman behind the goal scores the third goal of the game on a simple pick with a strong hand. Now, I can assure you that as a staff, we've communicated these things persistently, but obviously not well enough. And or put our guys in positions throughout the week in a consistent fashion where they can execute those disciplines well enough. So we need to make sure that we have great ownership or better ownership to the best players on an offense and do a better job taking them out of that game.
So that leads into my next question, which, what is your approach going forward? I mean, you can't really go to a guy after 9 games and go, stop turning the ball over, and he's going to go, oh, okay. I mean, like you say, you've been saying these things. So how much do you talk about what you have to stop doing, and how much do you talk about the prize that's out there and these next 5 games?
Yeah, it's a really good combination of both, Ted. I think they, you know, we still have a, you know, full belief in what these players are capable of, but we just need to put them in some different spots and find a place where they can essentially rest a bit throughout the course of the game, you know. So if we have a player that we don't think's in a great groove or is not doing things from a decision-making standpoint that we believe helps us, we have to do a better job as a coaching staff taking him off the field, talking to him a bit, either challenging him or showing film on our iPad that says, "Hey, look at what you just did, and let's do it this way next time." We have to do a better job of that in game, but also leading up to that game, I just think we got to balance the field better and provide more direction, specifically on the offensive end, as to when we're playing very fast, when we need to have the ball, when we need to take advantage of a clock, when we need to rest the defense. All of these things in these first eight games have been very hot and cold. We seem to tear into some pretty good early opportunities, and transition well sometimes, and then other times we are taking a chance with the ball that doesn't need to be taken. There's not great advantages in that decision. So the way that we've provided a next step to our men, it's been about seeing the time and tempo and reading the time and tempo of the game. And we believe that while we don't want to limit what they're capable of, we still have to do a better job as a staff saying, "All right, when you hear this, we've determined that it's time to run these different things, or it's time to make these different decisions." And so again, a message that's been sent pretty diligently, but again, we haven't sent it correctly, because if we have, then you'd see a little bit of a different play. So we sat and talked for a while on Saturday night as a staff. On Sunday, met with a bunch of these players Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and basically talked about, here's where we're going to play you differently. And whether you're out of the box or you're down low, or you're coming out of the back and into our defensive end. And so a lot, the issue is a lot of guys take these different adjustments as demotions, or did I do something wrong? Da da da. And it's more so for us just telling them, no, we have been doing things wrong. As a program, we haven't really been executing all the things that we talk about executing. We don't listen great in game. We haven't really executed a detail in specific spots the way we've asked guys to. So we have to make sure that they know this is what we need. This is what we think will give us better opportunities on both ends of the field. So we've structured things differently. We want to continue to, like you said, Ted, continue to play this system, but make sure we know going into the first conference game, if we haven't learned from these mistakes, and if we haven't grown from the places that have given an opponent really great momentum and challenged ours, then we're not going to execute in this conference the way we need to. So our guys understand that all these eight games leading up to this, the majority of them have not gone in the way or the capacity or fashion that we've really wanted them to, of course. But they're all warm-ups, in my opinion. Whether or not we win all those games or lose all those games, we still feel like the goal for a postseason standpoint is dependent upon a conference. So our guys are one, continue to bounce back and are fantastic every single week. They provide full effort, look straightforward, and keep their eye on that North Star. There's no doubt. So we are going to make some adjustments in the decision making and how we play, but we're also very calloused and ready to play this first conference game.
One more thing before we get on to High Point. Do you think that sometimes offensively you're looking for too perfect a shot? Sometimes I see a midfielder roll off his guy, and it looks like that moment's there if you want to take that 20-yard shot between the hash marks, and they don't seem to want to take those.
No, I mean, honestly, Ted, I think it's the opposite. Yeah, I think we're doing things, too haphazardly from a what's a good shot and what's a great shot standpoint. And then also what the placement of the shot is, and how the goaltender's reacting to the ball movement and this and that. So our guys have the green light, Ted. We think too much. And it's not so much if it's the shooting, it's the shooting, or when they can shoot and this and that. But it's also, we don't feel like our faults are in when we're shooting and where. We feel like they're in a quick pass to a covered man on the crease that's just not available. And you know, then we have a all the work to get from the defensive end to the offensive end, transition everybody off the field with strategy, and then get the right guys on the field with strategy. And then it's, you know, let's take this chance and throw it to that backside pipe when that's the area where we need to correct. We need to eliminate those decisions. But from a shooting standpoint, our guys have always had the green light and the ability to shoot the ball when their hands are free and where they're comfortable. So if you're seeing a guy hesitating, it's because he's not comfortable shooting that shot and knows that there might be a better one, you know. But we still haven't gotten to that next layer or phase of the offense because sometimes that ball gets thrown to a place that it shouldn't. And we can't, and we're not making the decision to make that simple play and just hit a single and trusting that the ball will come back to us. So I think from a shooting standpoint, the decision and where the ball's going and how we release it has got to be improved. But our guys will always have the green light when their hands are free to go. And what we need to do is limit the decision making, or when we get into that fuss or that fast-paced decision platform of, you know, let me make this high-risk pass and see if it works out. We've just proven over the course of, you know, all of these games that it works out for us 20, 25% of the time. And we need to have a higher percentage play and a better plus-minus for those passing or feeding decisions, and then still allow these guys to have the green light to shoot.
Off for a long road trip to North Carolina this weekend, playing High Point. They're 3-6. They have a brand new coaching staff. And if you ever wanted to say throw out a team's record, I mean, I think this is a case. They've played the likes of Virginia and North Carolina in their pre-league schedule, so I think they're a much better team than those numbers show.
Yeah, and they are probably the best face-off team that we've played. You know, have great athletes all over the field. You know, whether or not they're clicking has yet to be determined. You know, I think, you know, very similar to last week, you have two teams that are in a really similar position. You know, you look at our schedule and say, you know, yeah, they're whatever we are, 3-6, 3-7. But it's like, you know, they're not playing cupcakes. They're playing pretty good teams. And, you know, I think if you look at the Robert Morris and the St. John's game, you know, those are two games that we believe with better execution, we should have done a much better job and been on the receiving end of victories in those games. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. And so if you look at both schedules and both comparisons, it's, you know, both of these teams have lost to good teams, and both of them have beat teams that they're superior towards, at least on that specific day. But this will be a question of identity and pride. You know, what team is has more belief in what they're capable of, and what team is going to literally, Ted, play better lacrosse throughout a 60-minute period? All the underlying themes of the emotional, the mental, the this and that. I mean, you know, of course they're impactful, but I mean, if you were to ask our guys right now, if you were to ask Rosie what we need to do, or Deli what we need to do, or Firth or John Jude, they would tell you we need to play better. You know, that I mean, they're very ready, they're very emotional, they're prepared to play physical and fight for ground balls and all that good stuff. I mean, we talk about it repeatedly. It's time to do. Like, our guys have to play well, and in order to win conference games, and we've shown pretty consistently, Ted, that when we don't play well, we lose. And so, you know, I wish I had a better solution to or an easy fix, but our best players or our most consistent players have got to find a way throughout this 60 minutes to play better brand of lacrosse, and that's what we're asking them to do.
We talked earlier about that defensive awareness of what the opponent's going to do. Perfect example, number 21, Owen Bunton, 24 goals, one assist. So when he's getting the ball, you know what he's going to do with it. You have a good idea how he tries to do it. So how do you step up and stop that guy and hold him to one or two instead of five or six?
Yeah, I mean, commit to the support or the double team that that guy may need, and also just being very aware of where he is off ball, and understanding that he doesn't need much space to operate, or doesn't need a ton in front of him in order to execute well. So when you look at The Wixted kid and the Bunton kid. If those two guys have good games, then the outcome of the game may not be great for us. If they have poor games, then or games where they're limited, like you said, I think they're too good of players to have poor games. But if they're limited in what their opportunities look like, then we've got a better chance to play a great defensive game.
So what's the last thing you're going to say to your team before they take the field Saturday?
That this is different. That this is about pride. A certain pride that we haven't played with yet. Now these are real. So the implications of the loss or the win is real, meaning you're talking about extending your season and the time that you have to play together or shortening it. And whether or not you take that personal is going to be completely up to you. The coaching staff does. The coaching staff wants more time with this group, wants more time with these seniors, and wants them to feel the fruit of their labors. We do, man. I mean, we as a coaching staff, we've won before, Ted. It feels good. We've won championships, Big East, NEC, Ivy League, national. We've been in places where we've worked very hard and we've won. This is not for us. I want Alex Rose and Nolan Firth and John Jude and his senior class to feel good after games. That's what we want. And we want them to be able to keep playing them because we believe they work hard enough to have earned that right. So this has got to become more personal. This has to become a pride thing. And how much do you want to extend the season? Because that's what the implications of this game mean. And if it is a prideful thing and you have bought into that ideology, then we'll see it in your play. We'll see how differently you approach a conference game than you do all others. And I mean, it's been a one goal game both years in the past. We've gone into this conference play with a highlight on the A-10 and what the A-10 means. And I mean, we know it. So, but we still haven't over two seasons approach these games the way that we need to. And so we're spending a lot of time on that. And the last thing I'll say to them is that if you want more time together, we'll see it in the first 5 minutes of this game, and then we'll maintain it throughout the rest. And so we know that they're going to play hard. They're going to play great. It's a very distracting environment. It'll be 80 degrees down there, Ted, or close to. And it snowed here and it was 30 degrees yesterday. So there's a lot of things that are weighing against our ability to show that pride. And I'm going to challenge our men to do so anyway.
All right, so 12 noon game Saturday, 89.5 WEOS. This has been the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts, be it Apple or Google or Spotify, and get all your sports information at hwsathletics.com. Go hockey for the three-peat, and we look forward to seeing what you guys can do on the field Saturday.
Thanks, Ted.